So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 2. We're going to read just a couple of verses. And really, we could begin in the first verse of this chapter, but for the sake of time, I want to skip over and just begin at verse 4 to get right to the part of this story that I believe is important. What I love about this text and the reason I want to look at Moses and his mother today is because, and what's great about the Bible is that when we really begin to understand the Bible, that the truth of it is all throughout the Bible, it's great that we can find comfort in knowing that we're not alone when we're in some kind of crisis. That the Bible is full of different types of crisis that happen in people's lives and letting you and I know that they will be in ours too. And so I love that about the Word of God, that I can be in a crisis and yet I can also be in the will of God all at the same time. Maybe for some of us, when we've been in trouble, we've wondered, why is everything going wrong? And we'll start to question, and even the enemy is good about getting you and I to doubt some of our decisions, thinking that somehow we're not in the will of God, but yet you can be in the will of God and still in a crisis. And I love that it brings comfort from the Word of God today, and that's really what is happening in this text. There is heartbreak. And there is difficult times, and it's a time full of crisis, but it is also still the will and the plan of God being unfolded before our eyes. And I thank God for the mother of Moses, who was a strong woman, able to make a difficult decision in a moment. And had she not done what she had done, then the story of Moses would be much different. And if you know anything about the Bible, then you know what I'm talking about. If not, you're fixing to find out real soon. Second Exodus. Hallelujah. It'll be all right. Exodus chapter 2. Let's begin in verse 4. Are you ready? Say, I'm ready. There you are. Look what it says, beginning of verse 4. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women? And that she may nurse the child for you." And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Can you just hang on for a minute? What has happened up to this point in the first verses that we didn't read is that the threat against women was that Pharaoh would kill their child. And so Moses' mother had the courage enough to birth him and give him up and float him down the river. All right. She floats him down the river, and look at the last verse we just read. In verse 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Doesn't God work crazy? Moses' mother gave him up, floated him down the river. Yet it's Pharaoh's daughter that finds him and says, "Now go hire me a Hebrew woman that can nurse him." So Moses just is about to get his mother back that just gave him up, unbeknownst to Pharaoh's daughter. Are you with me so far? See, don't ever tell me that God isn't working in all things. All things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes it looks bad. Sometimes it looks difficult. But he is in all. Can you say amen? Amen. That excites me right there. His own mother. So then Pharaoh's dead. "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." She's even going to get paid to be the child's mother, even though she is the mother. Hallelujah. And it goes on and says, "And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.' Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown," say grown,
Mm-hmm. That he went out to his brethren and asked, and went out to his brethren and looked. I told you I didn't have my glasses. At their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And we're going to stop right there. Uh-huh. There's so much in this text, and I'll never get through it all, but there is some, let me first say, there is a lot of life lessons in this text. I've used this text for counseling. A lot of things. There's leadership principles in this text. There's parenting skills in this text. There's so much going on in just these couple of verses that I could never begin to unload it all on you in the time that we have today. But I want to begin by sharing with you that I believe that everyone in this room, we've all had a different experience in life. Some of you would get up and testify and talk about how great your life was. And others of you would get up and talk about how much of a struggle your life was. Some of you would get up and testify of how wonderful of a mother you had, and then others would refrain from that subject and just thank God that he brought them through. In life, all of us have had different experiences. Some of you have had mothers. Others of you might have had mothers that you don't want to reference or speak of. Experiences that don't bring back good memories. In fact, today is one of those days that it will bring the good, the bad, and the ugly all to the surface at once. That's why not everybody is happy. That's not why everybody can show up to a Mother's Day celebration. Because there are mothers that, women that desire to have children but can't. And so something that you take for granted each and every day. They struggle with to be able to accept the fact that they've not been given that gift. And so this is a day that sort of brings up a lot of emotions and a lot of memories for all of us. But one thing is true, and one thing is true about all of us that we should be able to relate to in this text is that maybe you had a mother, and if you didn't have a mother, then perhaps you had a mentor. Someone that was like a mother, but maybe not a mother. Someone that helped you along and gave you skills and blessed you. See, even the church is supposed to operate in such a way that we mentor the older Lois, mentors the younger. Right? That's what the Bible instructs us to be as the church, that we could help fill in the gap for those that are missing and in their life that they don't have what you and I have. Hello. The real church, a genuine church, is supposed to be a support for each one of us in some capacity. Not just on a Sunday morning, but to be a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. And help to those who need it. That's the real church. Don't shout me down. The whole vision that we unleashed last week, and if you missed it, you just got to ask somebody, is about doing just that. Our dream is to help others come true. Our dream is that their destiny would be fulfilled, right? And so that's what it is. It's the real church fulfilling, helping others fulfill their destiny and their dreams. Hallelujah. We should always honor, in fact, the Bible says we should honor our father and our mother. Mm-hmm. I know there's probably been times where we haven't. But the Bible tells us, it instructs us that we're to honor our father and our mother. Some people give reasons why they should not honor them. That's true. Maybe some of us in the heat of anger have been like that. Some of us have given reasons why we should not honor them. But it's usually as a result of some imperfection. But let me caution you about that for a moment. Until you and I learn to honor someone who is not perfect, you will never be able to even honor yourself. Hallelujah. That'll preach. Until you learn how to honor someone who is imperfect, you will truly never be able to honor yourself. Someone once told me, and I'll never forget it, that be careful not to criticize something that you're not done doing yet yourself. In other words, don't criticize your parents for something you're still trying to figure out yourself. Oh, hallelujah. All the mothers and fathers can say amen there. How many know we're all guilty of criticizing folks in areas that we're still figuring out ourselves? Yes. And yet that's the very thing that we need to be very cautious of. I'm getting to the text, I promise. All that was for free. Just a preview. Being a mother is important. One of the most overlooked and least appreciated jobs there is. Yes, it's important. And today, this is about you and I recognizing that whether or not we had a mother, a great mother, or a mother with many flaws, that maybe you didn't have a mother, but God did send a mentor into your life in some capacity to help you. To help you and to guide you and to be with you. Hallelujah. And so that's what I want to be able to focus on today, is letting you see that you can celebrate this day even still. Whether you're a mother or not, that you can still be honored, and that you can honor the people that God has placed in your life, whether you had a mother or you were adopted or you were an orphan or you didn't have the best relationship, that God has put people in our lives that we're going to be able to celebrate, even as he did in the story that we just read in Exodus 2. Moses had a different kind of life, and that his own mother, for fear of him losing his own life, gives him up, floats him down the river to get him out of harm's way, floats him in the direction that she believed he might find safety. Think about how hard that is. And so she makes the decision, I'm gonna float him on down the river. I'm going to put him in this little basket, and we're going to float him down. But the threat against her baby was too great of a risk. Other women had given in to that threat, to say, I'll kill your baby. And other women had given into it. But she was wise enough to figure out a way around it. Hallelujah. How many know every good woman can always find another way? Women are creative. Women have the ability to do the extraordinary, take and make a little bit of nothing and make it something great. Just women have that ability, that gifting. God has anointed and given them that great quality that a lot of us can marvel. Many of us never really know all that mama had to do in order to sometimes put things together and make the family work. Some things we'll never know about. And so she had to make a courageous choice to keep her baby safe and to give him a chance at life because of the threat of murder against him. Now, I want you just to pause for a moment and consider the fact that all of us have to be born of a woman. Amen. That's how God made it. All right. And so one of the reasons that every woman should always get our honor and our respect is simply because you and I would not be here without them. Hallelujah. In fact, take it a little further and think back to the Bible, that even God knew so much and knew that he set a precedence that women should be honored, that he chose, that he said when he needed to come in the form of man, he chose a woman to come into the earth. That's one of the reasons why women should be honored. There are many, but we have to see the significance in why God came in the earth. Could he done it without a woman? Sure, he's God. But he did it, and he said, I'm going to come through a woman. Think about that. And so women deserve our honor, because whether you agree with them or not, or always even like them, you wouldn't be here without them. Hallelujah. So they need to be honored, and they need to be celebrated, which means sometimes we need to bite our tongue. Women are not less than you. Again, because you wouldn't be here without them. Hallelujah. So the mother of Moses, she was courageous and she was strong. And even under the threat of death, she birthed them anyway. And the Bible even says, if we would have read more of the text, that even the midwives had the courage to lie to Pharaoh so that Moses could be born. There was a lot of women with courage surrounding about him. Sometimes a lot of courage that you don't normally find in a situation like this, when there's such a threat against people. And so God knew that had Moses' mother not birthed that child, then the promise that God made to Abraham could never be complete. See, it was really important that everything work
the way that it needed to work. It was really important that Moses' mother be a woman of great strength and wisdom and fortitude and thought that she could look beyond and find a way when there never seemed to be a way. It's really important that sometimes you and I realize that God chooses us for certain things and that we've endured certain things because often what is in you is often and absolutely greater than what's around you. And there was something that was in her that was greater than what was around her. What was inside the mother of Moses was greater and more powerful than the threat of Pharaoh himself. And so oftentimes you and I will hang our head and hold our head and wonder what it is that we're going through and what crises we're facing. And we often ask why we're going through it. And the simple, easy answer, even though there's more to it, is that there's more in you than what's around you. There's more in you than what's around you. You've heard me say it many, many times, and I want you to get that in you and allow yourself to just absorb it and realize the reason you're enduring it, the reason oftentimes life is caving in around you is because there's more in you than what's going on around you. Thank you, Jesus. God knew that he needed to choose mother of Moses because after 400 years, God was going to bring them out of slavery. God was going to bring them out of captivity. But God needed a partner. God had needed someone to work with. And that was going to be Moses. And so God needed to have a woman like his mother to be able to bring this to pass. I know that the mother of Moses had no idea that one day that she was birthing the one that would one day deliver her. Oftentimes, you and I don't know what it is that we're going through in life, that what it will bring later in life. She had no idea that one day the very baby that she delivered would one day deliver her into freedom. Once again, God shows up in mighty, mighty ways, you know, how God reveals himself in extraordinary ways. And he did that right here in the text that we're looking at. She didn't know what was coming. She just knew what was before her right now. And she was making the best decisions she could make in the time and the situation she was dealt with. And so Moses' mother had some courage to do what would be difficult for any mother, any woman in this place. And she came to an understanding of realizing that her part of this plan, whatever the fullness of this plan was, knowing she didn't know what was coming. She didn't know what the future held for Moses. She didn't know when she put Moses in the basket and drifted him down the river where he would end up. She had no idea at that point. But she did know one thing, that her part in his life was over, or so she thought. How many of you know that sometimes you and I, we can criticize, as I said earlier, things that our parents have done, but yet we don't always know the circumstance of why that decision was made. Hello. It doesn't make it easy to accept or necessarily deal with, but I can tell you that there are always things that we do not know. And so she does the best thing she can. She decides that her part of his life needs to come to an end. I'm going to put him in the basket. I'm going to float him down the river and pray that he gets into the hands of someone that can keep him safe. Allow him to grow old and wise and fulfill whatever plans and purposes that God has for him. So Moses' mother, the Bible says, she released him over to the Lord, basically, and just said, I'm going to float him down and trust God. She floated him down the river, not with her, not, the Bible says, not with his sister, just floats him down and trusts that he'll be in the right hands. He had to float among all the dangers that would be in that the river now, circumstances, things that could come against him, things that could kill him even there. But she was trusting in the plan of God enough to believe that God had something more for his life, that she was doing everything she could to try to protect him and see that he could live a long, healthy, prosperous life. And so Moses' mother realized, because of the threat of death against him, she could not mother him. And she realized her ability, because she could not mother him, because she could not raise him, she released him
hoping and praying and believing that somebody could mentor him. Nobody could ever be his mother because she was his mother, but she was had a belief inside of her that someone would mentor him. Now, remember that the mother of Moses was a slave. Are you still with me? I have to lay out these facts for you so we can get to the heart of the message. Remember, his mother was a slave, so she had limited capabilities anyway, let alone the threat that's against her and her son that he would be killed under Pharaoh. She made a difficult decision in a difficult moment. So she realized, I can't mother him, and I can't even fully mentor him because of the threat. But even more than that, I believe that the mother of Moses really couldn't raise him to be who he needed to be because God had every intention in raising him to be a deliverer, and his mother was bound. She didn't have the understanding of what it would be and what it would take to raise a deliverer when she herself was bound. See, it's difficult for you to raise somebody up to be something great if you yourself have never been great, or if you yourself have never been free. It's hard for you to give advice for someone to get off of something or to get free from something if you yourself have never been free. Hallelujah. And all the church people pretend they've never been bound to anything. Nothing's ever had a hold of me. Yet you're miserable without your first cup of coffee. It has a hold of you, friend. Right? There are all sorts of things, and they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes that get a hold of us. Some of you, it's that little thing that you carry with you with a screen on it. And you are not comfortable without it. Your phone. We're addicted to them. Right? There are things that have a hold of our life in a lot of different ways. It doesn't have to be necessarily your traditional addiction, but it can be something that they can show up in any form or fashion. And so it's difficult for you and I to give advice to someone on how to get free from something if you yourself are not free. And so I believe that's one of the greatest reasons, even beyond the threat, because I know that God is enough, he is big enough, strong enough, and he would have been able to protect Moses from Pharaoh. That's who God is. God's able to do that. He could have protected Moses as a baby, kind of hid him out, you know, all of those things. That's what God's able to do. He could have, but beyond that, it was just that his mother didn't have what she needed to be able to raise up a deliverer that was going to bring and set the Hebrew children free. And so God says, I'm grateful for your mother, and I'm still going to allow your mother to have a part of your life. But what you really need, Moses, is a mentor. What you really need is someone that can help you become who I need you to be. See, this is why it's important that you and I not look back and criticize decisions that our parents made, because sometimes we just don't know. Who God designed you to be, maybe they didn't have the ability to raise you and to bring you into where you needed to be, so God surrounded you by other people to empower you and to put things inside of you and to help pull out of you the greatness that really was inside of you that maybe they lacked the ability to pull out of you. Hello. That's one of the reasons the church is supposed to operate in the manner that we are. It's so that our job really is just pulling out the greatness that's inside of everybody. My job every week is to do that. To help pull greatness out of you. Don't preach me down or anything. That's our job. That's our job. The whole vision behind everything that our church does isn't giving away free food. And the reason we've expanded it to the Dream Center, Dream Fayette, the reason we've done that is because we believe that our job is to help pull out of people what God has put in them. God has designed them and created them in such magnificent and marvelous ways. And all we're going to do is just look into them, find out who they really are, and bring those things out of them, and then watch them excel and exceed. That's the goal. That's the heart of God. And friend, when you do that, watch out how God will bless the people of God for doing just that.
when you can begin to show someone who they really are, and you can begin to demonstrate to someone that they are not poverty, that they are not their addiction, that they are not going to be describing themselves by what they have done and what they've done wrong in their life, friend, you've just given them a one-way course to success and happiness and joy unspeakable. And God smiles on that, let me tell you. Hallelujah. Now back to the message. Get to start preaching about that vision. Vision's just in me, so it just comes out in any possible opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the Bible really lets us know there was sort of a trade from Moses' mother to his mentor. His mother passed him off. His mentor finds him in the river. And when Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river and saw him, and when she went down to bathe, it was that moment, powerful moment. And it's really a word for every mother when we see Moses' mother release him into the river and the mentor find him, is that one of the most profound parts of this story is the moment where Moses' mother let him go. Because I believe for every parent and for every person in this room, the lesson is sometimes you have to know when to quit. Oh, Lord. There are some things in this life. There are some relationships. There are some places. There are some friends. There are some things that we've made a part of our life. And it's a life lesson we all have to learn, and I'm just grateful and thankful that the mother of Moses knew it sooner than later. How many of you have ever came to that understanding later in life? After a lot of trauma and after a lot of grief and after a lot of sorrow, you came to the understanding, I think I've overstayed my welcome. I think it's time to quit. Every parent has to come to a decision at some point where you release your child into the hands of God, and because you can do no more in your own strength. Hallelujah. Every parent who'd be honest would admit that. There comes a point where we all just have to learn that lesson and know when to quit. We've got to know when to turn things over to God. And when I turn things over to God, one of the other parts of that is the mother of Moses accepted at that moment that even though I'm releasing him over, I'm going to turn him over to God and I don't know what will come. She also understood, and it's understood in the text, that she no longer was even going to have the opportunity to speak into his life because she didn't know what the future held. So not only did she understand that she had to quit, this was her moment that she had to let him go, but it's also a lesson for you and I to know that when we turn something or someone over to God, that also means that we also have to shut our mouth. Because there's a lot of opportunity. All that didn't get any amens because we like to say our piece. And if you can't say it to my face, you'll do it on Facebook. That's what we do now. And so the reality is, if it's a moment in our life where God's saying we have to know the time and the moment in our life when we need to quit, then that also means that when you realize that you've come to the end of your road, that also means that you have to close your mouth. God has it from there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Preach it, Pastor Adam. It'll be all right. I believe sometimes the wisest thing that a mother can do, a father can do, or that you and I can do in this life is turn your child over to God and know when to do it. The wisest thing. When you can do no more, I believe that we're in a place and time, we can look around our nation, we can look on social media, the news, we can look all around, and I believe one of the things that we're losing is good families. And good mothers and good grandmothers that used to hold families together. Look at the culture of family today is different than what it was. You know what I believe that is? We can find a lot of reasons, but I believe one of the biggest reasons is because wisdom has left the house. Wisdom has left the house. What do I mean by that? Wisdom's left the house because grandma isn't interested in sharing wisdom and being the glue that holds the family together. She's too busy being sexy and doesn't have time to be wise. I mean, seriously, social media is full of grannies looking hot and looking great and taking selfies. They're not interested in being the glue of the family. Come on, somebody. There's all kinds of things like that going on, and yet it used to be that the one thing would be true, that the family was okay as long as mama or grandma was alive. But culture has shifted, and culture has changed, and it's even changing in the church. We're seeing it all over, and if our churches begin to look like a bunch of hot grannies, we'd better find another church, because you will find no wisdom there. If they don't have the wisdom to be wise instead of just being hot, then there's no wisdom to be found there. Hello. I know. Happy Mother's Day. I'm not criticizing what you're wearing. I'm not getting into all of that. I'm not even preaching old school modest. I'm not going there. I'm just saying we cannot forsake wisdom. We cannot forsake even what Brandon read earlier about the virtuous woman. This is what we need in the body of Christ now. This is what we need. You heard me say last week that my thoughts are going all over the place. They're escaping me. But you heard me say that last week, that we can't lose the elders in our church. It's pivotal and it's important. We can't. And we need them. And they need to know their place and they need to know their value, which means the rest of us need to make sure they understand their value and they need to understand that we're watching them. So be careful. Please. Be careful. I want to have enough people that it doesn't matter who comes in, that they can look at you and find strength and wisdom and poise and happiness, and they can find a way to navigate their life by looking at yours. Hallelujah. Please don't lead them based off of the selfies that you post. Please. You'll send them straight to hell. I'm serious. Because we'll tell them that that's important. Part of the problem with our culture and our nation, unlike any other in the world, is that it's difficult to be a woman in general. Because what is a woman? You'll put your outfit on and you'll change it again and again and again. And you'll fuss over your hair and you'll fuss over your makeup. And some of you, maybe you've grown past that and thank the Lord you've been delivered. But some of you fuss and you put a lot of emphasis on it and what you're going to wear and what you're going to look like. And you worry about all of that because you care what people think. We've created a culture that we judge a woman based on what they wear. That's too tight. She's too big for that. I'm just saying it like it is. And so to be a woman in general, let alone then if they don't fit the mold of what a mother might be. So we make it difficult to be a woman. We make it difficult to be a mother. Hallelujah. What we need is wisdom to be restored to every house. So we have to listen to the wisdom that our wives and our mothers share when they share it. Mm-hmm. For Moses to fulfill his purpose, he needed his mother to let him go, and he needed his mentor. See, the reason he needed a mentor, and he needed the mentor that God gave him, Pharaoh's daughter, the very man that the threat to kill him, he ends up in the arms and the hands of his daughter. Think about that. The reason that he needed a mentor like her is because he was going to be raised to be able to sit in the presence of kings. But if he would have been born and raised by his mother who was in slavery, he never would have had that opportunity or that exposure. See, some of you and I, God has orchestrated our life in the manner that he has, and you weren't raised by the woman who birthed you, or you weren't raised by the parents that you think that you should have had. But the reason that you were raised by who you were raised by is because God gave you opportunities and exposed you to things that you otherwise would not have had access to.
I thank God for looking out for me even when he didn't look, even when I wasn't able to look out for myself or I didn't understand the plan of God. See, stop being critical or feeling like you're different or an outcast because your upbringing was different than most other people's. You are unique for such a time as this. God had a plan and God has a plan. It's still in process. Hallelujah. Still in process. Whether you had a mother or not, God gave you a mentor to raise you up. And so Moses' mother passed the torch to the one who would become his mentor. And I thank God that it was his mentor, the daughter of Pharaoh, that was able to educate him. Think about this. Moses was able to get an education he otherwise would not have been able to get. He was able to learn perseverance that he never would have learned in slavery. He was able to learn what it was to operate and have class. He learned how to be able to communicate with people that he was not born to communicate with. He learned what it was to live and operate and humble himself and operate even with dignity. He learned all those things. See, what the devil meant for evil, God turned for good in his life. God said, you were born in one lifestyle, but I'm going to expose you to another and give you favor. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for favor. See, Moses didn't get what other people got. Some of you and I didn't get what other people got in our childhood or growing up. Or any of those things. But that's because Moses wasn't going to be what other people were. See, the reason that often our lives look different than other people and our lives often look in a manner that and most people consider us an outcast or different or we feel like the oddball is because God never intended or designed you to be like everybody else because you're not going to have what everybody else has because God doesn't intend you to be what everyone else is going to be. Lois, that explains a lot. Glory. Amen. The reason some of us are just odd and freaks and strange and the reason we don't fit in anywhere is that right there because God never intended you to be what everyone else is going to be. Celebrate your weirdness. I'm serious. Celebrate you're a freak. Celebrate what. That's why you can wear what your hair however you want. Do whatever it is that makes you happy because God designed you to be that way. He raised you with that ability, right? Don't sit back in judgment because someone else has the boldness and the courage to wear ugly shoes like Lois does. Let's celebrate her uniqueness. Hallelujah. Celebrate it. Because God can't have everybody being like that. There would be utter total chaos in the world. Huh. Glory. See, we got to take a moment just to laugh because y'all are getting too quiet. And I got to hurry. Celebrate your uniqueness. It's high time. Stop spending more time in counseling for how you were brought up and realize that God did it for a reason. There's a greater level for it because God needed you to be raised a certain way. Trust me, there will be purpose for pain. There is always triumph for trauma. All of those things. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that we're not still dealing with issues and problems. I'm just letting you know that God needed you to be different. God needed you to be different because you are not supposed to be like everyone else. So then that bodes the question, then what are you waiting on? If you know that you're different and you know that you had things different happen in your life like everybody else, then why are you waiting for God to use you mightily? What if Moses had waited? See, as Moses grew, the Bible says he grew 40 years. Some of you are still trying to figure out who you are. Relax. That's somebody, well, I'm in my 40s and they're in their 30s and they're frustrated about they don't have everything figured out yet. I said, it's still early. I'm still figuring out some things. Some of us might be 50, 60, 70, 90 and still figuring things out. And the way I look at it is if it took Moses 40 years to understand who he was, so what?
And the reason it took Moses 40 years, and the reason that we struggle, especially in our society, for who we are, is that Moses was brought up, he was birthed as a Hebrew, given to an Egyptian who's killing the Hebrews. He's trying to figure out, I know that's who I was born to be, but I was raised to be this. He finally finds himself in the text. Sorry, I'm fast-forwarding a lot. Because of time, it's Mother's Day, and I know y'all probably have plans and dinners and flowers and cute things that you only say once a year and all of those great things, so we'll let you get to it. But listen to me. He comes to this pivotal moment in his life where he's sitting there and realizes that my mother was a Hebrew woman that out of fear of me dying gave me away to save me. Come into the hands of the Egyptians to be raised with all this education and poise and have the ability to greet and sit with kings and rulers and people of all kinds of power and position. Yet the Bible says that one day, after 40 years of being raised, he's conflicted about where he was and where he is. Sometimes you and I can understand what it is to be conflicted about who we were and who we are. And the Bible says he looks out the window one day and sees some Egyptians beating one of his own. Beating one of his own people. And it's sort of a light bulb goes off. Moses has an epiphany right in that very moment. And realize that those men are really, as they're beating this Hebrew, they're really beating him. And he has a moment to realize, well, if they're beating him, that could be me. But I was raised in privilege because of what Mama did. Because Mama selflessly gave me up and gave me chance over her heartbreak and her despair. She opened this opportunity for me. And he's standing there, confronted with in that moment his past, what his future could look like. But the only determining factor about what his future will look like is what will he do in the present to change what he sees with his eyes. Please understand, Moses would not have had this conflict even without his mentor. It was the education of the mentor, the dignity of the mentor, Pharaoh's daughter, that lets him see this moment for what it is. Not hiding who he was, hiding who he is now. He comes to this moment and he realizes, that could be me. And so it was the upbringing of the mother, her selflessly giving him away, and the dedication of the mentor, who was like a mother to him, that raised him and brought him to this moment that he never would have had without his mama, and he never would have had without his mentor. You see, we're really guilty a lot of times of criticizing mothers and mentors for what they did not do. But often, most of us wouldn't be experiencing the moments that we are right now without what Mama and our mentors have taught us. It was her selflessly giving him up that allows this moment to be a history-making moment. And you need to see that for what it is. Exodus 2, right here in the midst of this text where we're trying to bring this a Mother's Day message, is a history-making moment where Moses makes a decision in a moment. How many of you know your life can change in a moment? Your life can take a turn. You are one decision away from the greatest success or the greatest failure. That's why some of you avoid decisions
But you need to trust in what mama taught you and what your mentors taught you and make the most of the moment. The Bible says, if you would read on, we're hindered by the clock. Mama says, Moses makes a decision in that moment when he sees himself as he could be the one being beaten that moment. He goes down, takes things into his own hands. Ends up that Moses kills the Egyptian for what he was doing to his brother. Moses, knowing that when Pharaoh gets wind, he is in trouble. Fast forwarding a lot and missing some details, he heads out on the run. Some others find him and say, are you going to do to me what you did to the Egyptians? Now Moses knows everybody's starting to find out. It was in that moment that Moses, that moment that his mother and his mentor prepared him for. The moment was that he chose to stand up. See, Moses could have looked the other way. He could have just accepted the fact, well, I'm Egyptian now, and that's what we do. We beat the slaves. But he could not forget that his own mother was still a slave. His own mother may have helped hold him and nurse him because Pharaoh's daughter sent for her and hired her and paid her to nurse him and help raise him. Don't forget that. But it wasn't normal to him to see that behavior. And I believe what God is looking for you and I in this moment and for the church to be in this time is that there are some moments that God has created in our society that we would be like Moses. And the church would stop cowering back and not having an opinion on and being quiet and being afraid to end up on the nightly news. And we'd be willing to stand up in a moment that creates a monumental moment in history. Moses was able to lead his mother and the other Hebrews out of slavery and into freedom. Don't forget the end of the story, but all of that was only possible. Why? Because of that moment where he looked at something and he said, that's just not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. That man doesn't deserve to be beaten like that. That man does not deserve to be treated like that. Are you with me today? Are you hearing me? And it all comes down to a moment. And these moments in our life, the moments in our society, the moments that we're enduring right now as a nation and as a church and in our families, it comes down to a moment. And what will you do in this moment? God gave you a mama and he gave you a mentor for the moment. You've heard me say this quote, and I've said it for years. You can seize a moment or you can miss a moment. What will you do with the moment? What is this church going to do with the moment? What are you going to do with the moments that God gives you to stand up? I believe it's a prophetic word. See, whether you had a mother or you had a mentor or you lacked both or you had something worse than a mama and something worse than a mentor, it doesn't matter. Everything that you've endured, the point of the text is that God designed your life in such a way that he would bring you to a moment, a defining moment. And one of the things that I heard consistently through the week is that we are at a defining moment. And it's what you and I will do with the moment. Marriages often get to a place of a defining moment. Churches get to a place of a defining moment. At work, we get to a place of a defining moment. And God says he's brought you to a place of a defining moment. And we need to thank God and celebrate God for our mothers today and for our mentors. But in the midst of celebrating our mothers and our mentors, we also need to give praise and glory and honor to God because we wouldn't be here without God first. And God wouldn't have brought us to this moment without mama and without a mentor and without God the Father. Hallelujah. And so we've got to be able to embrace the moment and say, God, what would you have me do for the moment? The moment that I find myself in. Moses stood up to try to right a wrong and later faces Pharaoh
someone I used to have dinner with. Let my people go. I mean, look how God works. A man raised in Pharaoh's own house. God uses him to set him free. The point, God uses every part of your life, every detail. Often the things that you and I take for granted, often the things that we forget about, that we overlook, God uses them for our good and for our destiny. Every plan, every part of the story of Moses had to do with his destiny. What would become of him? What would become of him? See, it's time that we give gratitude to God and gratitude for mother, because God doesn't need your attitude and neither does your mother. Hallelujah. Come on, mothers. You can say amen. Seriously, we end up giving God a lot of attitude and we give mom a lot of attitude because of how things are or what we didn't have or what we didn't get. And the answer from God, even according to the story of Moses, was you didn't need what you thought you needed. And what you thought you needed, I'll give it to you in another form. And that's what he did with Moses. He although he may have lost his mother as his mother and to have that lasting bond forever, he gave it to him through a mentor. And Moses didn't give God attitude over it. He gave God gratitude. He gave him gratitude. All of his story, all of our story, everything about us is designed for our destiny. All of it. And it's what you and I do in these moments like Moses that will determine who you are. What are we going to do in the moments that God has given us? What are we going to do? What are we going to say? What are we going to accomplish? Because I can miss a moment or I can seize a moment. It's the moments that we need to take advantage of. That we call our one TV program Fire Moment. And the reason it's stuck is because if someone can get just one moment of the fire of God, it'll change them forever. Right? Just one moment. Not an hour, not a week-long revival service, but a moment. Moses is an example that a moment can change everything. And so it's important that you and I don't take for granted the moments with mama, and we don't take for granted the moments with mentors. Because all of those moments with your mother and your mentor will bring you to a moment in your life where you'll choose to either seize it or miss it. Because God knows what will bring you to yourself. I believe that Moses had been raised for that very moment when he would look out the window and see himself being beaten, understanding who he was. Understanding there was a part of him out there being beaten. But don't ever forget that moments, while they're important, moments are often surrounded by trauma and abuse and adversity and pain and difficulty. They often are. But it's what you do with the moment that determines your destiny. His destiny and his trajectory was all determined in that moment looking out the window, determining, I'm going to do something. Mamas, just because they're old and they're raised, you're not done. Mentors, because you've helped raise someone and because you gave wisdom, you're not done yet. And the rest of us, we're not done yet either. God has been designing you and equipping you for a moment, a defining moment. You want to know what's happening in our world and you think everyone's lost their mind and you think our political leaders have gone crazy? That might be true. But the truth of it is, underneath all the craziness, is God has positioned you for a moment. What will you do with the moment? I challenge you today, when you leave this place and
celebrate with your mom, or maybe you have to just remember mom because you're not here. Celebrate the moments. Celebrate the moments that you have with people. Don't take them for granted. Had Moses taken for granted the moments that he had with his mentor, he never would have been the man to be able to see himself as the man being beaten and to free people after 400 years of slavery. But it was in him all the time, and it was his mentor that helped draw who he was out of him. Can I tell you, it is in you for what we are facing in this moment. It is in you what our church is about to go up against. It is in you. It is in us right now. This whole entire project, yes, it is. It is in you. You watch and see. It is in you. Seize the moment. Don't miss it. That is the word for the hour. Seize the moment. Don't miss it. Hallelujah. Speaking to somebody, maybe, I don't know if it's you, maybe it'll be for somebody on TV, but seize the moment. Seize the moment. Don't miss it. The reason that we sat on that property for so long until such a time as this is God said, because I needed you to miss the moment to seize the moment at the right time. And now all the things have come together. Just since I announced it with you, the progress that I've made this week, the people that have come forward, the people who have already raised up and said, I want to do this and I want to do that. And what about this kind of ministry? And what about doing that? Mm-hmm. If you say, I don't know what you're talking about, you have to ask someone. Why? Because God doesn't want you to miss the moment. You are right now about to step into destiny. What you thought was destiny was just the preamble. Now you're about to step into destiny. Who you really are, everything you've been through, everything that you've endured is for such a time as this. Right now. Yes, Lois, even in your old age. It's fine. It's fine. It took Moses 40 years to come to himself. For everybody who's still trying to figure out their life and wonder when things are going to change, relax, it will. It did for Moses in a moment. And your moment is coming too. Don't miss the moment. This is it. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray right there. Hallelujah. Look at that. Praise God. That was a rush job if I've ever. Maybe on the next Wednesday night I will teach this story of Moses and give you the life lessons, the parenting lessons, and the marriage advice. It may not apply, but one of those three will apply to you. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I want to pray today as we close a blessing on you. I want to pray a blessing over you. And on our way out today, we'll give our tithes and offerings. We did it at the end, I realize that we can give it, our tithes and offerings on our way out today and sow them. And if you've got money for the bowl, we can do that. But before we do that, I want to just pray a blessing on you that you would seize the moment. Some of you might leave here and be like, I just don't know. I didn't get what he was saying. Relax. Because your moment's coming, and you will. You might feel like it was only for the women, or it was on. Relax. There is a moment coming that you are going to have to seize, that you are going to have to stand up, be counted, and be heard, or stand up for an injustice, or stand up and say, make a declaration for something God's calling you to do, and you've been waiting, and you've been wanting this confirmation, and that one, and a third, and now you're asking him for a fifth, and God's just saying, don't miss the moment. I want to pray that you will have an ear to hear and an eye to see the moment when it presents himself, and that you will have the courage and the strength that mama and your mentors have given you to seize the moment. Hallelujah. pray with me. If you came with someone today and you can grab their hand and pray with them today, would you do that? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you're a God, that you are full of moments. Full of moments. And that God, you've prepared us for such a time as this. You prepared not just our church, but God, there are families, there are husbands, there are wives, there are single people. God, there are families that are going to be confronted with a moment. And Father, I pray that right now, that Father, that you would equip them. Father, that you would equip their ears to hear and their eyes to see, to recognize and seize the moment. The moment that God, you've created us for, the moment that, Lord, we've been destined for, it's here. And that, Lord, some of us are experiencing a change in seasons, and that's only because it's brought us to a defining moment. Yeah. Yeah. Don't miss the moment. Father, help us that even just as the seasons change, we've entered into the spring season, that as the seasons change, so does the weather. So does the sunrise. So does the sunset. God, everything around us changes in the season. God, I pray that the people under the sound of my voice would not be distracted by all the change and miss the moment. But that, God, they'll step into prophetically right now this season that, Lord, you've called them to. This moment, I pray in the name of Jesus. That's a word for somebody. Don't be distracted by all the changing things happening in your season. But seize the moment. So, Father, I thank you right now that we have eyes to see in the Spirit, ears to hear in the Spirit, because even your word says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So, Lord, we listen to you. We follow your voice. And, Lord, let us be a house that will stand up when we need to stand up. Let us be a house that will let go like the mother of Moses when we need to let go. Be silent when we must be silent. But God, whatever it takes, don't let us miss the moment. Don't let us miss the moment and the opportunity that God, you brought us to, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, today we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for our mentors. And God, we most of all even thank you, God, for the moments in our life that we can reflect on, that have made us who and what we are today. We thank you for the moments, the mentors and the mothers of our life. God, we bless you for them. And God, we give you praise and we give you gratitude for what you've given us, for what you've blessed us with. God, as we leave this place today, I pray a blessing on every woman under the sound of my voice, every woman that's going to be a mother in the future, every woman who's a stepmother, every woman who's a spiritual mother, every woman of every kind, every grandmother, I pray that God, that you will pour out a blessing upon them. Father, I pray that we honor them with our love and our appreciation. But God, I pray that you would just especially today, God, let the mothers not miss their moment, but to stand up and be counted. God, there are mothers, there are women in this house that, God, you're about to rise up for a powerful, meaningful time like never before. I thank you that, Lord, they're hearing it. They're getting vision for it. They're hearing your call and that, God, you're going to use them. So, Father, bless them. I pray that you empower them today. Let the women of this house feel loved and appreciated, God. Let them know that we believe in them. Let them know that, God, that you have called them for such a time as this to stand up and not miss the moment. Now, Lord, bless us as we leave this place. Bring increase to the tithes and offerings. Multiply it, God. Multiply it. Bring increase, I pray, in the name of Jesus to the giver as they give. Give back to them, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Bless the week ahead, God. Bless every part of our ministry this week. I pray and bless these people. I pray that you would just order their steps as your word declares. Start a miraculous chain of events in their life that is unstoppable. Do extraordinary things. Let them see miracles everywhere they go. Let them see, God, you reveal yourself to them in the strange, unique, personal, loving ways that you do. I pray it all in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you and we thank you and we praise you right now. Jesus Christ, in your name, amen. and amen. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. We love you. God bless you.